seen in the bulletins, we're going to read from Philippians again. We were there last week as well. But before we start, as we probably all know with the poppies here too, that Remembrance Day is drawing close to us. And I am sure that there are ones here who have had loved ones who have gone to battle for us and for our country itself, and they've fought for the rights to have the freedoms that we do. I know today the world is much different than it was years back. There's different things changing and things coming about that should not be coming about, and we can still stand firm in God and trust in Him and stand where we need to stand and fight for what is right and true, even though it may seem hard and difficult at times. But if you would, we've kind of had a thing that we've always done. I'm sure you guys have done it before, but we just stand and take a few moments of silence. So if you guys would just stand with me for those who have fought for us, and we'll just take a minute of silence. Thank you. You guys can be seated. Unless you really want to stand while I speak the whole time, but you don't have to. When we actually take those moments of silence like that, it does seem like a minute is a really long time, longer than we've ever thought it was. But it kind of helps us to refocus. And the point is that we're trying to remember those who did fight for the rights that we do have today. And we should be thankful. As we go into Philippians, we're kind of going to see a little bit of Paul's remembrance and the remembrance that he had for the Philippians in Philippi. But he not only remembered them for a minute, but he prayed for them. And in his prayers, he had love and compassion for them. So Philippians 1, 3 to 11 is where we're going to go. Let's just read that together now. I'm reading from the ESV, just to let you know. Philippians chapter 1, verse 3. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel for the first day until now. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. It is a right for me to feel this way about you all, because I told you in my heart, for you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Last Sunday, we were in Philippians as well. And we took precedence of focusing on the fact that we can live for others through living for Christ. and we can care for the needs of others by living for Christ, by living out the gospel. And again, this time we're going to focus on the joy that Paul has for those Philippians that were living out the gospel and were showing him the love and the grace of Christ. There's going to be 3 points that I'm going to kind of go off of, that I will go off of. The first one is, it's personal to Paul. The second, partnership is fellowship. And the third one, caring guidance. I, too, want to just focus on another point with David. We know David loved Jonathan. I don't know if you know the story of Jonathan and David. But there was something magnificent that happened between those two. And the reason I bring that up is because of the battles with Remembrance coming and remembering those who went to battle. But David loved Jonathan. He cared for Jonathan. True friendship. True love, if you could say. But some people, I know, have twisted the Gospels in ways that they try to make it sound like it was a gross thing, the love that Jonathan and David had. But it was not. You can read deeper into that for yourselves in 1 Samuel chapter 20. And I would encourage you to read that as well, and chapter 18 of 1 Samuel as well, to find out more with Jonathan and David. I'm sure there's ones of us here today who have had relationships with others, a friendship that is strong, or if not, I hope that you do have that one day. And if you don't have that with someone within this world, we can have that with Christ. Because sometimes we might be alone. David had a situation going on. I'm just going to make a little story with this, show you the story with this. So in 1 Samuel, David had a little situation going on where Saul, the king, Jonathan's father, wanted to murder David. But Jonathan wasn't totally positive about this, and he wanted to make certain of this. So there was a dinner going on, and they joined together, and David asked if he could be removed, that he wasn't going to be there. And then some more different things had gone on in the midst of that. And when Jonathan really confronted his father himself threw a spear at Jonathan, which proved the point in the argument that he was wanting to kill David. I can't imagine, first of all, having a spear thrown at me from my father. It would be a little shocking in itself. And then to find out that he wanted to murder one of the closest friends that I had. But when they joined together, when Jonathan and David parted ways, it says in 1 Samuel 20:42, "Go in peace. The Lord shall be between me and you." Those are strong words, I would say. Go in peace, the Lord shall be between me and you. So as we remember those who went before us, we have David and Jonathan, who were strong friends. But David lost Jonathan within battle, Saul as well. And David wept over Saul, the man who wanted to murder him, because God had put King Saul in place. And David did not kill the one who wanted to kill him, because he knew that God had placed King Saul in that position. So we too can know that the government has been placed by God. They may not agree always on what God's word is. They may not always do what God's word is, but us as followers of Christ can stand firm and do what God has called us to do as believers. And that is to love others, to care for others in ways that Christ cared for us. So I know we've deviated a little bit from Philippians itself, but I wanted to get that across for us to understand, and to help me understand too. Saying it back to you guys helps me to understand more of how important it is for us to have tight relationships with people. I know Dieter's here, they're with us this morning, and his wife is not here, and I just think of you. And I just thank you for the prayers that were brought up to for her. Amen. And the Lord knows, and he'll take care of it. I too want to resonate with what Paul has with the Philippians, with you guys. And not just from the scriptures here in Philippi. I have seen your guys' love towards us as a family. How you've welcomed us in spiritually and encouraged us and have blessed us financially, physically. It has been a great blessing, and it has been an honor to serve here now with you guys and to lead you guys. I know it's a heavy weight for me, but the Lord will take care of that for me in my life with my family and with you guys to lead you and care for you. And I just think of Paul here, and just he truly believed in what he said. That's why he said it. He cared for them. And I feel the same towards you guys as well. I care for you because I can see your love that you've had towards us and towards the compassion that I've seen you with people in the community and things that I've heard. Yes, I've heard a few things. Good things. Something else that happened with David and I was going to say Saul, but with Jonathan, something else that happened with them is the holy kiss. I know I was talking to someone else about this the one day, and they were saying a few things about it, and we do need to show compassion towards each other in ways that both of us feel comfortable to do so. But David bowed 3 times and then as well kissed Jonathan. And then they parted ways. There was a strong connection between those two. Their souls were knit together as well, it says in Samuel, 1 Samuel. So I want to come back to my first point that I was saying. It's personal to Paul. Paul was thankful for his God through the saving work that had been done for the Philippians, who had faithfully trusted in the saving grace of their Lord and Savior. They had believed in the work of Christ from the beginning, partnered with Paul in obedience to faith, and stood true to their faith, not only in word, but in action. They acted it out. Not only had the Philippian believers partook of the goodness of God for themselves, they acted it out by caring for Paul when no other church had yet done so. And that comes from when he left Macedonia. Chapter 4, verse 15, you can see it there. And let's just read together too there, if you just flip a few pages. Chapter 4, verse 15 of Philippians. It says, "And you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you." You partnered with me. Verse 16. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again. He was cared for by them. Not just in spirit, not just in word. They showed it to him. And he was grateful for it. Even though Paul had learned the secret, because he knew how to face hunger, he knew how to deal with abundance, and he knew how to deal when he had a need. He understood. He learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. Chapter 4, verse 12. He was grateful to the partnership and the gift he had received. The Spirit worked in the Philippian believers to give, and so they proved their faith through their works. The importance of faith and works can be found, I'm sure you've read it before, James 2, 14 to 26. Faith and works work in unison to one another. We must love our brother, our neighbor, not only in our words, but in our deeds. Again, I've seen that in you all through the gifts that you've given us as a family and through the ministry that is here already established and going to go forth and still going forth. So I thank you for that. And I resonate again with Paul and the love and affection that he had for the Philippians. I too have love and affection for you all. God does his work in us for his good pleasure. Again, that's from Philippians 2:13. Paul saw and felt this from the church in Philippi. The word all is a frequent word that Paul uses. Paul wants all to feel and to know his love and affection, all of them. We're going to go Philippians, if you flip back again. I know you were in chapter 4. If you flip back to chapter 1. It says in verse 4, all, I'll read the whole thing to you. Always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayers with joy. For you all. Verse 7. I'm going to read it. Let's read it together. It is right for me to feel this way about you all because I hold you in my heart, for you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. This is about you all, the Philippians. Verse 8 as well. For God is my witness, how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. For you all is in there as well. In chapter 3:1, we find Paul saying, we'll go there, 3:1. He is saying, finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you is no trouble to me and is safe for you. Telling someone they are doing good can give confidence and stability in what they have obtained, what they have come to. The Philippians had come to an understanding of something, and Paul was lifting them up in that. They had come to Christ, and they were acting out their faith, along with confidence to withstand heavy problems. They were able to withstand what trials may come their way. Paul's affirmation is not false. We can stand on it. We can look to this scripture, we can look to the scriptures and stand on the truth that is there. He is reminded of their love and affection every time he prays for them. Not momentarily, not just for 1 minute as we did before, but every time he prays for them. Robert Jameson, a commentator, said, love and joy are the first fruits of the Spirit. Joy gives a special animation to prayers. It marks his high opinion of them, that there was almost everything in them to give him joy. Almost everything in them to give him joy, and almost nothing to give him pain. Something I was thinking about when I was doing this too is, we have 4 children. And if we were to teach our children, or I was to teach my children, and we never affirm in what they have learned or come to understand, we would be a fool. And that looks to his, and that a fool that looks to his own gain and his own benefit. So we need to affirm others. I need to affirm my children in what they're learning, what they're coming to understand. Not that there isn't correction, not that there isn't guidance, but I need to affirm them in what they've understood, what I am teaching them. We must not neglect the duty of building others up when they're doing well. Because often we can try to encourage someone when they're having a struggle, but when they're doing well, we can easily just step back and not give a hand or to encourage. So it's always important to do that as well. It's true for children, it's true for young adults, it's true for older people, elderly. Second point, partnership and fellowship. This is going off of verses 5 and 6 now. We have been given the right to partake in communion, which we did last week there, through the Lord's Supper, taking the Lord's Supper together, communing together. These believers in Philippians and Philippi had partaken in the goodness of God, and the goodness of God was reciprocated by Paul. They had joined in partnership with Paul through the gospel when they first heard, and to this day. Because of your partnership, it says in verse 5 of chapter 1, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. In verse 5, Paul says, because of your partnership, as I just said to you, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day till now. The King James Version, though, partnership is not used, but instead the word fellowship. There may be some of you that have King James here today. So instead of partnership in verse 5, it says fellowship. Warren Wiersbe, the word fellowship simply means to have in common. So partnership, fellowship, in common. But true Christian fellowship is really much deeper than sharing coffee and pie or even enjoying a golf game together. I'm sure there's some of you that have golfed before in here or are golfers. It is fun to golf. I like golfing too. I like pie too. Too often what we think is fellowship is really only acquaintanceship or friendship. You cannot have fellowship with someone unless you have something in common. And for Christian fellowship, this means the possessing of eternal life within the heart. The Philippians had fellowship with Paul through the Spirit and in fellowship with Paul. Not only in spirit, but in suffering. That's from Philippians 3:10. You know what? Let's just read it. Philippians 3:10. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. They shared with Paul in this. They had fellowship with him. We must remember verse 6. Which says, and I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. The work is being perfected in the Philippians through the gospel, through their own actions. Workers approved by God, their own fellowship proved it. Sanctification was at work in their lives, and it would be brought to completion at the day of Christ. We are given to a commission. We need to be Christ-minded and having one mind, one focus. All from Philippians, you can take this from each chapter. You can take it from chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4, and you can combine that and find that. We have a mission. We have a commission for us as believers to focus together with one mind. Jonathan and David were knit together. We are knit together through the Spirit. We must not sacrifice the Scriptures for the benefit of others or the benefit of our own selves to get across our own thoughts or our own plans. We must not neglect the duty of building up one another. Point 3. caring, guidance. He is giving them guidance. They are knit together in the Spirit for Paul to give them guidance in tough situations. But Paul doesn't seem to direct everything towards this of trying to correct them, but give them encouragement and uplift them. But he does give them guidance in a few places. And as I studied Philippians, there was two places that I saw Paul kind of given a little bit of a push, a direction. And it's in 2:2 and it's in 4:2. So chapter 2, verse 2, and in chapter 4, verse 2. And in chapter 2, verse 2, he is asking for them to complete his joy, which we had talked about before last week. He wants to complete his joy by being of one mind. One-mindedness is participation in the Spirit. We are given upon salvation in Romans 8, 9, the Spirit. And in 4:2, he names two women, Eudaia and Syntyche. If I didn't say the names right, you can come talk to me later on. If I said them wrong, that's okay. We're not getting across the point here of what needs to be. Paul entreated these two women. In the Greek, it also means urge with entreat. Urge. He urged these two women, and that's from chapter 4. And he wanted them to agree in the Lord. He wanted them to come to one mind. They had an issue that was going on between them, and he wanted them to come to an understanding so that they had come together in one mind, one Spirit. We have the same Spirit. Salvation is no different Spirit. There's one Spirit when we're saved. There is only one. There's one Spirit. There's one God, one Lord. Little example in Wearsby. There was a radio quiz master. He asked the contestant, "Tell us some of the blunders your wife has made." It's a pretty bold statement to say to a man. "I can't remember any," said the man in his response to the quiz master on the radio station. The man replied, "Oh, surely you can remember something." "No, I really can't," the contestant said. "I love my wife very much, and I just don't remember things like that." Christians who practice love always experience joy. Both come as a result of the presence of the same Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love and joy, Galatians 5:22. Do we hold records of wrongs that people have caused us? Those are questions I was asking myself with this too. I've gone through some situations that were heavy. Do I hold things against people? My brother in Christ, my sister in Christ, do we? We need to think about it. We can't just push it aside. We need to contemplate it. We need to look and see if we have aught against someone. Because if we choose to come to dine together and commune together, we must not have aught against the brother or sister. So Paul was gently encouraging these two women to come together. He was encouraging the ones that were there to get these women to come together, to come to an understanding. The NLT in 1 Corinthians 13:5 says, "It does not demand its own way." This is love. "It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable. It keeps no records of wrongs." We must not forget these verses. They're not there just simply for nothing. They're there for a reason. They're there so that we can use them. I'm going to stop there. We're going to close together in prayer. And then we're going to worship again together in music. And then next week, we'll join back in Philippians again to get deeper into Philippians. Let's pray. Oh, before we pray, one thing I want to say, lift your heads again. I want to say, though, take time this week and read through Philippians, because we're going to go here for maybe another week afterwards as well. But just take time and read it on your own. Just read it. And if you have to read it like 20 times, feel free, because then you'll have a whole bunch of information to bring to me. So, yeah, take time to read. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for your words here today. I thank you for this time that we've had to sit together and to hear of your goodness, of your guidance and direction that we can take from your word. And I just thank you for Paul and the time that you had put him in and what you had done and the work that you had done. And I just ask that each and every one of us leave here today, that we would think about the way we love others, or do we love others, or how we act towards other Christians or non-Christians. Do we show the love that you have given to us? So I just ask that we would think about the love that you have given to us. What does that mean to us? How have you loved us? Help us to contemplate. And I just thank you for your grace and your compassion for us. Just help us now as we sing together, that we remember that we're giving thanks to you. In Jesus' name, amen.